from the mountain where the first appearance of the sun is visible. Gopta will protect Eka uniquely, Viraha powerful, heroic, Naradeva of all kings, gods in human society, Nathaha the master, Asthaya, being situated on, Jaitram, victorious, Ratham, his chariot, Atachapaha, holding the bow, Pariyasate, he will circumambulate, Dakshinataha, from the southern side, Yatha, like, Arkaha, the sun. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, Prabhupada. This king, being uniquely powerful and heroic, will have no competitor. He will travel around the globe on his victorious chariot, holding his invincible bow in his hand and appearing exactly like the sun, which rotates in its own orbit from the south. Report by Prabhupada. In this verse, the word yatharkaha indicates that the sun is not fixed, but is rotating in its orbit, which is said by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita and also in other parts of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the sun rotates in its own orbit at the rate of 16,000 miles per second. Similarly, Brahma Samhita states, Yasya Gyaya Brahmati Sambhritta Kala Chakraha. The sun rotates in its own orbit according to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that the sun is not fixed in one place. As far as Prithu Maharaj is concerned, it is indicated that his ruling power will extend all over the world. The Himalayan mountains, from which the sunrise is first seen, are called Udayachala or Udayadri. It is herein indicated that Prithu Maharaj's reign over the world would cover even the Himalayan mountains and extend to the borders of all oceans and seas. In other words, his reign would cover the entire planet. Another significant word in this verse is Naradeva. As described in previous verses, the qualifying king, be he King Prithu or any other king who rules over the state as an ideal king, should be understood to be God in human form, Naradeva. According to Vedic culture, the king is honored as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he represents Narayana, who also gives protection to the citizens. He is therefore Natha or the proprietor. Even Sanatan Goswami gave respect to the Nawab Hussein Shah as Naradeva, although the Nawab was Mahamadan. A king or governmental head must therefore be so competent to rule over the state that the citizens will worship him as God in human form. That is the perfectional stage for the head of any government or state. So this king, the Prithu Maharaj, being uniquely powerful and heroic, will have no competitor. He will travel around the globe on his victorious chariot, holding his invincible bow in his hand and appearing exactly like the sun, which rotates in its own orbit from the south. So this is a description about Prithu Maharaj, his qualities, qualification. Because Prithu Maharaj is not an ordinary personality. He's actually a Shakta-based avatar of the Supreme Lord. He's empowered representation of the Supreme Lord. So therefore he has all these wonderful qualities. So Prithu Maharaj therefore occupies a very, very important place in this Srimad Bhagavatam, in the so many narrations of in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prithu Maharaj's pastimes are so unique that by hearing Prithu Maharaj's pastimes, that one will get so much strength and also mercy. So that power that Prithu Maharaj has. So powerful and heroic, because in order to rule the country, so one has to have all these qualifications, so that the people can follow him. But unless the king is qualified, or the emperor is qualified, then people will not take it very seriously. So therefore, Prithu Maharaj was empowered by the Supreme Lord in order to guide the whole population, actually in the part of Krishna consciousness. He himself is a highly powerful personality, but from all angles, spiritually as well as physically. So therefore he was a very, very competent to guide everyone. So such a personality, they will have no competitor, because he is the representation of the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord has given all the qualifications to such a personality. He is empowered. So therefore, here in Bhagavad says that there will be no competitor. And he will travel around the globe. So he is traveling around the globe. It is essential in order to see the prajas, the citizens of the planet. So where such and such people are acting, how they are living, what is their situation, so that he can have a direct understanding how all the citizens are doing. And then give protection. So that to give protection is one of the qualifications of leadership, to protect the citizens of the world. And so whenever there is some discrepancy, then he will point out, don't do this, don't do that. So in this way, so he was fatherly. I mean, he was representation of the Supreme Lord. And so he's always for the welfare of all the prajas. So the prajas generally include all the living entities, not only human beings, actually all the other forms of life. So therefore, these are the unique qualifications of a leader. Here is comparing as like the sun, exactly like sun. But then the sun, about the sun, there's a description about the sun also. What is the scientific understanding? The sun is rotates in its own orbit. It is also there. So in this way, Prithu Maharaj has so many wonderful qualities. You see, in the Bhagavatam, therefore, Prithu Maharaj's pastimes occupies very important sections in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like his meeting with the Kumaras, and the dialogue between Kumaras and the Prithu Maharaj forms a very important form of instruction for all of us, how to be a devotee of the Lord, and how to develop the qualifications. That's in the latter chapters, it's like chapter 22, 23, 24. So these are very important instructions that the Prithu Maharaj with the many, many important transcendentalists, the dialogue. So therefore following this instruction or the footsteps, or by hearing the Prithu Maharaj's pastimes, and if we can at least make a sincere attempt to follow many of the examples that Prithu Maharaj sets in the how to make progress in spiritual life, then one will be protected in the journey of devotional life. So especially in the subsequent chapters, I think this is on chapter 22, that he's meeting with the Kumaras. So there he describes the Kumaras, Sanat Kumar, instructs to actually Prithumaras about the 8 qualifications, how to be a devotee, how to remain strong, how to remain stable in devotional life. It's very, very instructive, very, very important for all of us. There are 8 qualifications that one has to develop. So that those 8 contains all the devotional practices that so within that framework, that includes the following the regulative principles. So these are the fundamentals of the Krishna consciousness have been very elaborately described in connection to Prithumara's pastimes and also his dialogue with many, let's say, like these saintly personalities, transcendentalists, especially the Kumaras. So in this way, the example of the leader should be such that, and that's by following the example set by the leaders, that the citizens or the common people will be very, very satisfied. And that's like in the Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that whatever example set by the leader, the common man follows. So this is natural thing. So therefore, and Prithu Maharaj has that qualification. So in Krishna consciousness, therefore, we follow the example set by the acharyas. So in our case, our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada is our acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So by following his instructions, by following his guidelines, if we follow very sincerely, then our devotional life, our progress, our journey in devotional life is guaranteed. So therefore, the only thing which is necessary is that each one of us has a sincere desire to follow these instructions and properly so that we can make progress in our humble attempt to understand Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important principle in the devotional practice, because otherwise there are always ups and downs will come, because this by nature we live in this age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, and the forces of disturbance are very, very strong. So there are, say, every moment there will be so many things happening in the mind, and because the symptoms of the age of Kali are such that there's a powerful forces of material nature so strong that unless one has very well protected by the higher authorities. So higher authorities include the Vaishnavas, the advanced Vaishnavas, the spiritual masters, and the demigods, devatas. We also get the blessings from the devatas, and of course, plus from the Supreme Lord Himself. So under the guidance of these higher authorities, that when one gets protected, then one gets strength and understanding. So by that strength and understanding, so one can remain fixed in his or her devotional practice. But when that situation is disturbed, then the forces of nature are such that the person will be distracted from devotional life. Therefore, we need to follow the footsteps of these great personalities. And the Prithumaras has those qualifications. So in this way, by following, at the same time you can see that the other side of Prithumaras is that he is so much also dependent on the blessings of everyone. Just like at some point he will do the sacrifice, and there he will invite all the citizens of the planet. and he will address, said, "My dear citizens." So he would say, "So please bless me so that I can do my little seva." He also requests like that. He requests the blessings. And also he requests that this is my humble appeal to all of you, that you all become Krishna conscious citizen. So by that the Supreme Lord will be extremely pleased. So in this way, he's the other side of Prithu Maharaj has this wonderful quality. And the leaders should be like that. Leaders should be should have all these symptoms of wanting to serve the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and also very concerned for the well-being of everyone, well-being of all the citizens of the planet. And so in this way, this is not very easy thing to do. It is now today what happened in the planet. We have so many leaders like the presidents, the prime ministers, ruling the different countries. But at the same time, the trouble that we are facing is that because they are on the bodily platform, so they fight among each other. Like India, Pakistan, we fight. So in the process of doing that, the whole citizens are affected. And so this is therefore the crying need, the urgent need of the society is that the leaders should cultivate spiritual knowledge. If the leaders cultivate spiritual knowledge, and when they have developed some kind of a spiritual understanding, then when they relate properly on that spiritual platform, then the citizens of the world would be guided properly. And then we can think about world peace in the society, peace in the community, and peace in the world is possible. But when the leaders fight, how is it possible? How is it possible that the whole world is crying for world peace, but at the same time the leaders are fighting? And therefore it's not possible, it's not so easy. And but from the spiritual, from the religious groups, then at least any start, either the religious or even the ordinary people, if they start something like on the spiritual side, then it will be always welcome. It's a welcome enterprise to bring peace in the world from any angle, from any either the small or large, that doesn't really matter, but to make some attempt to add to the bring peace in human society, that's the crying need that in every part of the planet that people are working. And so then from the Krishna consciousness perspective, the Krishna consciousness actually, if we all unite together, the members of our society, because we have members in every part of the planet, and so if we all unitedly promote this culture in order to inspire many sincere people, the potential is there that be able to convince many people. So that potential is there, see, from the Krishna consciousness perspective. And so the only thing which is needed is that a genuine spirit of unifying spirit, that unity and cooperative work. I think that is, if that is there, then it is from a Krishna consciousness perspective, it seems that it is very good opportunity, the golden opportunity at this time. So this, so we are praying that this will happen. Because the world needs it. And We see that in every, in all walks of life, in all fields, that even in science, that nowadays there is a genuine interest among the scientists to actually cultivate spiritual knowledge. But there is so much misunderstanding that the scientists are not trained in this spiritual knowledge, so they have their own conception. So in the process of doing that, and it winds up mixing with so many like unconnected conceptions about spiritual aspect with science. And so that's, so these are, so therefore there are many areas that we could penetrate. So if we therefore pray for Prabhupada's blessings and then work very unitedly, and we can penetrate into many areas of preaching work, and then the whole world will be inspired. It's really the upper the so-called intelligent classes of people, like there's the philosophers and the scientists, and so they kind of they influence the entire planet in a big scale of the scientists. So so therefore Prabhupada's plan was to give Krishna consciousness to these people. If there's a facility to, you know, to inspire them, then he, because if you inspire one well-known scientist in the spirit of Krishna consciousness, so then this fellow, this person can do a lot of nice seva. Right? The thousands will respond just by his words. People will follow. That was Prabhupada's knowledge, and so the time seems to be coming that the whole world will be very receptive to the presentation of Krishna consciousness among these classes of people. And so in this way, the world will be benefited. So in Switzerland, I find that my brief visit in Switzerland, I find that some of these prominent scholars, they are very open. When you speak to them personally, they have very open-minded approach, and also they are very respectful. They respect that the viewpoint may be different, but quite respectful. And I just say, I find it's a little different than what I've seen in other parts of the world. So I'm quite attracted to their viewpoints, and also it's it's quite interesting to discuss about different things. So yesterday we discussed with this scientist for almost 3 hours, but that we touched many areas of discussion. Including from Tibetan painting, you know, art and science, culture, art, science, culture. Then we touched the areas called science, religion, and world peace. And then we touched topics on many aspects, about the leaders also, political leaders, and then eventually also he touched about Krishna, because he had appreciation about Krishna. He liked the paintings about Krishna. So it was quite interesting. This is my first encounter. I have not met him before, the first meeting. So I was a little cautious about talk to him, but generally it's going to me for the first time. But about the word God, he had a different type of conception. He liked the spirituality that God, because he has a lot of appreciation about the Buddhist philosophy, and Buddhism also. He helps some projects in India about the students, about the Tibetan students in India, I think financially and that also, he said there's also one here, very close to his house, on the Buddhist monastery. And it is directly connected by Dalai Lama. And so he has a lot of philanthropic idea. So he's coming to India in January, going to start up some program. He has quite, then we spoke a little bit about the, you know, Varanasram system that he talks about sometimes, Varanasram, as a scientist. It was a little cosmology also. We touched about cosmology, Big Bang theory, and as a scientist. Today, I'm meeting this Arbor. He's a Basel, University of Basel. And, he's a little older than the scientist that I met yesterday. And so today my plan is to discuss about God. But I was just wondering how do I approach that. But he's a little more, he's a biologist, and so today, this morning, I read something about him, so he's trying to say something from science, in connection to this Genesis, in Christianity, about the creation of, many different forms. He wanted to tie together with his creation, with some conception from modern science. So I thought that was interesting, and so I'm thinking of starting from that point, and then bringing about what is the conception of God from a biologist's point of view. So. Then I'm organizing a conference in Rome. I was planning to request him to be present there. So, this scholar said there. He said yesterday that I asked him to go away in Switzerland. There's only 6 million people, but there are 11 Nobel laureates, scientists in a small country. He said, is it due to hard work, or what do you do in Switzerland to produce all these Nobel laureates? And then they discussed about the student life in Switzerland. And he said, although there are some problems about drugs among the students, but they are not as severe as in other parts of the world. And in other words, the students are very hardworking and disciplined. Good discipline still there among the students. And so in this way, I was saying these things also. That was, it's quite interesting. So Switzerland seems to be a very good fertile field for presenting Krishna consciousness in the colleges and universities, especially universities, among the scientists. And so I think that the facility is there. And so maybe I'll end here, and I went away to it a little different direction. Anybody has any questions? Yes. The leaders. Thank you. So just like I mentioned yesterday, that in this meeting in Rio de Janeiro, we had Pakistani delegates and the delegates from India. And these are not only, let's say, from Pakistan also, there are some Christians, and Christianity is also there, and Islam, they are also there. And from India, we have other religious groups. Ease these tensions. And so we came up with this idea that we should start from the, say, the grassroots, and the common people. And because if we go to the political leader, then because they have their own idea, but if the large number of, the masses that are trained how to remove this tension, in other words, how to relate as neighbors, as brothers and sisters, that feeling. So if that is introduced, then it may eventually the government also will accept. Otherwise, there was a plan to make a peace pilgrim either side of the country. And this peace pilgrim will be international, let's say, religious groups will be there from all religious traditions. We go to Pakistan from India, from Delhi, from New Delhi to Karachi. Then from the other side also, come from Karachi to India. And this type of activity is there, then then people will begin to realize that this is some kind of a beginning of restoring peace. And so that this work we wanted to start soon. There was definitely some discussion, very important discussion we had, and so we may expect this soon, to see some beginning of this, some attempt for that will be made from this unit called the United Religious Group. So that we talk about how to get a visa from the from either way, and instead of visa, it won't be any problem to enter to these countries. And so there was some discussion. That will be so easy, but we're going to make an attempt. So, and many groups of religious leaders from different parts of the world will also come. To make a sincere prayer. So by prayer, you invoke by submission. And spirit of approaching with a begging spirit, with humble prayer, that so one can develop that type of culture, and that definitely one will get the inner message. There will be message inside that that means the blessing is coming, and from the higher authorities. Without that, you will not get strength. Once you get that that kind of inner direction, then one can proceed with full confidence and strength. But that definitely it is very necessary. And if we develop the right culture, the right practice, then one will be able to get that message. Prayer is the, just like in all the, in the Bhagavatams, like prayers by Queen Kunti, prayers by Prahlad Maharaj, always a Lord Brahma, all these are generally to invoke the blessings of the, so similarly, we also have to have the prayer of the Vaishnavas, and by that, by that approach, that one will get the blessings, and be able to proceed with full confidence and commitment that you think that what I am doing is right. You have that confidence because you got the inner direction. And so therefore it's necessary before beginning any enterprise, any work, first I have to get the blessings. And so by that approach, one will be able to proceed properly. Democracy, I mean, comparing with our spiritual, with existing democracy. Well, in our in this culture, or this spiritual culture, and so actually ours is both, but democracy as well as autocracy. So we have democracy is the opinions of the leaders are also acknowledged. We seek. And but once that decision is made by the assembled, let's say, thinkers, Vaishnavas, when that decision is made, in order to make the decision, we can have democratic, opinions. But then once that is decided, that the execution of the democracy that becomes autocracy. In other words, once the decision is made, that everyone has to follow. That there it becomes autocracy. It means even someone didn't exactly obey that support that, but once it is decided, and then he is also to follow everyone. So that, for example, in our case, our spiritual master Guru Maharaj, our Prabhupada, sometimes he consults his disciples. Many disciples, do you think that if I do this, it will be all right? And he takes opinions from, even, of course, Prabhupada had all the authority, is autocratic. Whatever he says, we all follow. But even then, in order to decide certain things, he consults. I see that many times he consults many of his disciples. And then, of course, the final decision is his. And then, after hearing all this, then he decides. And then it becomes autocracy. So we have, therefore we follow, in our system, we have called a governing body commission. That is, governing body commission members are, they are senior members of the society, and we have a meeting. And in that, it is democratic, that we discuss certain things, and then we come to a conclusion, yes, this is the right way. And then when that comes, then we transmit to all the citizens, to all the Vaishnava citizens of the planet. And that is supposed to be autocratic. Once it is decided and transmitted, that the if it is done properly, that it will be autocracy. It will be autocratic. In other words, it will be followed by the citizens. And a king is like that, king's position. That is proper. He also takes, like Prithu Maharaj, he takes, he consults his ministers. And but then once it is decided, then he executes. He executes the decision. At that point, it becomes autocracy. So in other words, but in the modern democratic setting, and you know, that the you know, the system has become so complicated that because of the lack of spiritual knowledge, so therefore it is not it's not able to, you know, to project it properly. In other words, one doesn't get so much strength, and so therefore there are discrepancies in the modern system. What is the universe? Oh, the universe. This universe, is this real or illusion? So what do you think? So it depends on how one looks at it. So this material world is real, real but temporary. Temporary. And so this material world is created because in order to give the facility to the wandering souls. We are all wanderers, wandering without any aim. We are wandering aimlessly, and then in the process of doing that, we become manifest, we come to this world. But then those who are very serious and thoughtful, then they begin to realize that this is not the real place that one would try to stay longer. So at this conclusion, one will come to realize just by experience, so seeing different, just like you were saying, maybe illusion. So, but at least you know, we have some conception about this world. So if it is illusion, then what is the where to go? So. Well, you want to find out something real. So therefore, that is a good start. You want to find out what is the real thing. So this facility, therefore, is given by the arrangement of the Lord in order to inspire the sincere individual who is actually searching for the real place, the real home. So that Prabhupada calls it back to Godhead. Back home, Prabhupada said, back home, back to Godhead. So then our plan should be that how to get out of this it's a temporary situation and try to find that real home. That means one has to revive one's real, the spiritual identity. In other words, our spiritual identity has been temporarily contaminated by the interactions with the cosmic components. So those components are described as sattva, rajasa, tamasa. These three gunas, sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic gunas. So this element, these materials, when we interact with these elements, then our spiritual nature is temporarily remain subdued, covered up. So then coming to devotional life, to Krishna consciousness is a way to purify. How to how to eliminate those the components, the influences of the material influences of sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic, those gunas. And so that's how we say, therefore the scriptures say, therefore you follow the principle, four regulative principles. And chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So these are the purification processes to remove those influences of the modes of material nature. And so once, when one is purified, so therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chetu Darpana Mahajanam, that we have to purify our contaminated, let's say, the dust accumulated for many, many years, many, many lifetimes. So that put Chetu Darpana Mahajanam, we have to purify, we have to cleanse, and it is impurities. And once we cleanse this and then render pure devotional service, then one will revive that the real nature or spiritual nature. So that spiritual nature is called Satchit Ananda state of consciousness level. So Satchit and Ananda. Sat means eternal, Chit means that natural knowledge, and Ananda, that the happiness, that blissful symptoms. These are the symptoms of the spiritual life, spiritual person, personality. So when one comes to that platform, then one will be eligible to go to the spiritual world, back to Godhead. So therefore, what we are practicing is to acquire these qualities, how to become clean, how to become free from the influences of the modes of material nature. So therefore, this practice is very essential, very important. And the theoretical knowledge, unless one applies it in day-to-day life, it is not very meaningful, it's not very useful. So that's like in science, we have the theoretical knowledge, but then you go to the laboratory and do the experiment, and then it becomes, you become convinced, yes, it is like this. And you get the direct result. Similarly, in the spiritual life, so we have this knowledge in the scriptures, but anyway, to apply it in our day-to-day life. So it is called a practical application. So this Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is called, sometimes we call among the students, applied spiritual technology. That application of the teachings of the Gita and the Bhagavat in modern life, in our day-to-day life. And so when you apply it, then it becomes it becomes science, spiritual science. So by applying spiritual science, by practicing spiritual science, then one becomes purified and becomes cleansed, and then eligible to practice pure devotional service, pure devotional science. That is the process. So in the age of Kali, therefore this association that they call Sadhu Sangha, the association is very, 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 very essential. Let's say, because by this association of sadhus, and one gets strength, and in order to practice this devotional life. So just like, so for our devotees, they go book distribution in numbers, 10, 20, 30, 5. So that way they get strength, each other, inspiring each other. But when one is alone, as like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that, Ekaki Amar Naim Pai Pal Harinam Sankirtan. So when I'm alone, it is difficult. It is, so therefore this Sankirtan means, in the assembly of sadhus, we practice Krishna consciousness, Sankirtan. Sankirtan means singing the glories of the Lord, but in large numbers together. Sam means together, last numbers, Kirtana means chanting, glorifying. So by that process we get strength. That is the prescription of the age of Kali. So Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj Prabhupada therefore has prescribed in all these different processes for all of us to make progress in our humble attempt to in Krishna consciousness. It is very important that we cultivate this association of the sadhus, devotees. I'd like to make an announcement that last year we had this global award that we have instituted this from last year. This is the devotees who are doing different shabas, like pujari shabas, and book distribution, and preaching to the colleges and universities, and then tours, spiritual tours. So this is a recognition of the our devotees who are doing this many different types of sevas. So I'd like to request that you can submit names from from Switzerland at the centers, that if anybody is doing any along that I'm sure many are doing, so you can kindly send your names. For the time being, I am in charge of this program. So if you can please submit these names in my address, in the email, and that will be appreciated. So generally, we do this during the Mayapur festival, and so one day is dedicated for this. All the fronts, many fronts are covered. Even the new things, if you are designing a new preaching project, and that is also is very inspiring. So please submit your names. At the end of December. Around that, if it comes, then it will be a little more convenient. Around at the end of December, after the marathon, that marathon festival, book distribution marathon, and if this message comes, I think that will be nice. And also, any new preaching, we also encourage new preaching fields, many items. This is to creative, to make some kind of a creative preaching works in many fields. Writing, if you're doing writing, kirtan, singing, cultural programs, Sunday, many programs on Sundays. So these things are, please submit. So I'm here for the end of this month, but I'll be in a different place, and I'll be back by the last part around 29, and I stay for 2-3 days more. On Sunday I want to be in one of the Sunday program, and so that's my program this year. And it's like I told you yesterday that this journal is coming out, and for that journal, that's one of the purposes of meeting of the scientists are to be published in this journal. That's one program that I have. And the conference, that the upcoming conference in Rome, so I probably visit very regularly in Zurich, in Switzerland. To meet some of the scientists. So pray that by the blessings of Prabhupada, everyone everyone gets a lot of strength and to push on this Krishna consciousness. Jai Guru Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Chisri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Jai Chisri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.